Church tonight. We're so glad you're here. We're going to start by singing song number 62 in your hymn book, One Day When Heaven, as we stand together. If you did not grab your cup with the bread and juice as you came in, you can make your way out during this first song and grab that and be ready for the rest of the service there on the tables in the lobby. One day when heaven was filled with his praises.
One day when heaven was filled with
special at this time.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Miss Lauren, for singing that for us. And some of you that were in the 845 service heard that, and I asked her this afternoon, or asked her mom, if she would mind checking to see if she'd sing that again. And what a wonderful song. God has been so good to us. Praise the Lord. Thank you. What a way to start us off. Well, I have to give a couple of announcements, and we'll have Kyle come and tell us about, pray for us, rather. But I want you to be aware that I mentioned this morning some Discovery Sundays, and I want the church family to know what we're doing here on the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd, the 3 weeks in a row, three Sundays there. We're going to go from 9:45 through Sunday school hour, and we've got these classes that we'd love to connect people to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and give a little bit about the history, but also just some ways that they can get connected and get involved here, because I believe everybody should be serving. You don't have to be all doing the same thing. But I would love for you to be connected, and these Discovery Sundays will help in that. And so it's for 3 weeks. We've got a sign-up sheet in the back. Brother Bobby Brown and his wife Christy will be heading that up, and they'll be back in the back after the service if you have some questions. But if you can't commit to all three Sundays because of schedule, that's fine. We're only going to take a certain amount, a limited amount, and then we'll do it again the next time. So you may have been a member here for a good while, but you say, I'd like to know more about it. I'd like to know how I can get plugged in. This is the class for you. Or maybe you're not a member, but you say, I'd like to know more about it and see what God is doing here, then that's the class for you as well. So we'll have a good time together on those Sundays, and challenge you to sign up for that if that would fit into your schedule. So that's something. Next Sunday we'll have graduation Sunday for our Sunday school departments, and they'll move on up to the next grade. But then also we'll have graduate Sunday, where we will honor those that graduate at this time of year. So those are a few things I want to keep you up to date on. Ladies, there is a ladies' craft night on June the 15th. If you want to see my wife, she'd give some more details. There's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. I think the cost is $10, but you have some good fun together, and that'll be on June the 15th. So Brother Kyle, would you come pray for us, and I'll come back and read our scripture for this evening.
Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, just reminded in that song, Lord, how good you are to us all the time. Lord, thank you for salvation, and Lord, for providing a way for us to be in heaven with you one day. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to have a relationship with you. Lord, thank you for the little things. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Lord, I pray that your hand would be on this service tonight, Lord, that you would bless it and use it, Lord. And I pray that we would leave here being closer to you and taking steps towards you. In your name I pray, amen.
Well, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we would should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come together, may not come together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." The Bible says there, let a man examine himself. And I'd like to just have just a moment where I'm a believer in this. We ought to keep short accounts with the Lord. If there's something in your life that you've thinking-wise or action-wise, that we say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have been acting that way. You know, it's not kids only that need that. We all need that. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have been acting like that. Shouldn't have been ugly like that. And I'm going to ask the Lord just to help us as a church just to take that time right now. Hopefully you have before now even, but take that time just to look to him. And then Brother Daniel's going to come and lead us in Calvary Covers It All. And when he comes, I trust that song will be a blessing to you. We'll let you remain seated. But I'd like to just pray for just a moment. Now, Father, we come to you. Your word says, let a man examine himself. And Lord, I pray that everybody here would just take this moment. Lord, is there something in our lives that isn't pleasing to you? Let people get it right now. I want to be right with you, dear Lord. This is a wonderful time for our church family just to come before you corporately, but we also do it individually. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for letting us come back tonight. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the precious blood, the body of Christ that they came and died, sacrificed for us. Bless us in this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
20 in your hymn book, if you'd like to turn there. And as Pastor said, you'll remain seated. Calvary Covers It All.
Calvary, Covers It All.
for Calvary. Thank you for the beautiful story that's so true that saved a wretch like me and the others in this room. Thank you for Calvary. Lord, we almost hate to take an offering, but that's worshiping you as well. And so, Lord, you've been so good to our church. You've used these people again and again to help missionaries around this world get the gospel out and then get it printed in gospel tracts here as well and pay the bills and things. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Bless this offering, we pray. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Brother Braden Bussey. He's our intern for these last couple months, and we're thanking the Lord for him. And I'm going to ask him to come and share something to you. There'll be a great blessing. And then after that, we'll continue on with our Lord's Supper service, and we'll partake of the bread. Brother Braden, won't you come?
Praise the Lord. Luke, please. Luke chapter number 23. I'm thankful that I have been blessed, and I'm thankful that Christ's love really does cover it all. And it didn't matter who I was, but Christ saved me. And, you know, it's easy where we live to take that for granted. And I know that I contend to do it every day. But I'm thankful that there was a Savior that came 2,000 years ago and loved me enough to save me. And I hope that you don't take it for granted. Christ's blood really is the answer for the problems of today. It really is. Luke chapter number 23. I was, you know, coming across what I wanted to talk about, what I wanted to preach on, give a little devotion or whatnot. And this. You know, there's four accounts of Jesus' crucifixion, and this one gets me. So we're going to start here in verse number 33, and it says, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, yet let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offered him vinegar, and saying, If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin, and in Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he saith unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. Isn't that crazy? What our Lord went through. So there was three things I noticed. Number one, verse number 34, it says, Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what did Jesus do first? For the three things that I noticed in this scripture, in this passage, number one, Jesus forgave, question mark. Jesus forgave, question mark. When I think about it, when I see this, I mean, I just think he was silent for a lot of this. He didn't say much. He was very humble. He was very quiet. He knew that this was the job that his father had for him. He came to earth to do this right here. And when he did say something, he said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." Why would he say that? Why would he say that? He said it then, while they were cursing him and mocking him, he said, "Father, forgive them." There's another thing I notice. Verse number 35, it says, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with and derided him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God.'" So there's a second thing I notice. Not only did Jesus forgive, he also stayed, Jesus forgave, Now this is random that I'm adding these punctuations at the end, but you'll get there. You'll understand where I'm going at some point. So number one, he forgave, Number two, he stayed. You know, at any moment, he could have called down 1,000 angels and removed himself from the cross, but he thought of me and he thought of you, and he stayed through the physical pain, through the mocking, through the cursing, and even the spiritual weight that I don't even think if we thought about it all day, we could comprehend. His father turned his back on him, and our Lord stayed on the cross. Isn't that something? You know, I like to cut up a lot when I preach, but tonight when I was thinking about it, I was just overwhelmed at what Christ went through on that day. So number one, he forgave them with a question mark. Jesus stays, And then lastly, Jesus saves, Nothing added to it. It doesn't matter how good I am or how good you are or where you're from or who your parents were. Jesus saves, Jesus saved the thief on the cross here at the end. I love every time I read this. I love it. The plan of salvation while Christ was doing it for us. He did it for someone on that cross next to him. Verse number 39, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" And I believe with all my heart that thief is in heaven today. I believe it. Amen. I'm thankful that Jesus saves the thief on the cross and the pastor's kid from Illinois. The poor, the rich, the old, the young, the smart, the dumb. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who he is and what he can do through you. Yeah. Think about that for a second. It's so easy to take for granted what Christ has done for us. You know, I got saved when I was 9 years old. I was young. I was raised in a pastor's home. I knew everything there was to know about Jesus, and I knew all the facts. But I remember the day when the Lord pricked my heart and said, "Braden, it doesn't matter that your dad's in the ministry. It doesn't matter that your grandpa's in the ministry. It doesn't matter that you want to be in the ministry," because at that point I did. That's all I knew. What mattered was I was a sinner in need of a Savior.
Right.
And just because I was raised in a pastor's home doesn't mean I was perfect. I sinned all the time. You could ask my parents, trust me. But I'm thankful that Christ forgave, he stayed, and then he saves.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And every time I read through this passage, I want you to think about that. The three steps that he went through on that day. Now, we can't even begin to comprehend what he had to battle, what he had to think about. But I'm glad that he was thinking about me. Isn't that amazing? I'm really thankful that I got to preach, so let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for who you are, Lord. I'm thankful that you saved someone like me, and God, I pray that we'll not take it for granted and remember what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Braden. We appreciate that. Well, as I read earlier, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians, now God's giving this to the people at Corinth, but it's a lot of repeating of what happened as Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper at the Passover time back in the Gospels. But the Bible says in verse 24 of where we already read, and you don't need to turn back there, but if you'll get your cup and the bread there, the Bible says in verse number 24, recounting back to that time, but giving it now to the church of how they're supposed to be doing it. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm just thinking about this as Braden was talking about the sacrifice of Christ, that he went to the cross. You understand that wonderful, lovely Son of God, God the Son, God himself, took on flesh to have it beaten and bloodied and all for us. And I think about when we come to this time that we get to just stop for a while and remember what our Savior went through as he came to the cross and endured the shame and the mocking and the ridicule and all of that, gave his body like a sheep before his shearers is dumb, the Bible says. And he did that, though. So as a church family, I want us to pray together. Ask the Lord to bless this time, and then we'll continue on with the bread. Father, thank you now. Lord, we've had a time for self-examination. Now we've had a time for a devotion, Lord, to look and see what it is that this salvation means to us. And now we come to this time in our service when, Lord, we get to partake of the bread that represents the precious body. Lord, I thank you for that. It's a symbol of what you did for us. Pray that you'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as the scripture says in that passage, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Once again, we'll remain seated, but Brother Daniel's going to come and lead us in that wonderful song, hymn number 360, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood.
Supper tonight, I was thinking about the Lord's Supper and really started thinking about sacrifice. There's a lot of different levels of sacrificing. Maybe you have to sacrifice the restaurant that you want to go to for the restaurant maybe your wife wants to go to, all right? That's a big sacrifice sometimes. Maybe it's a sacrifice such as you have to sacrifice what flavor of ice cream you want for sake of your family, all right? You got to sacrifice a little bit. Up in junior church, sometimes some of the kids will sacrifice some of their candy and give some candy to me. It's so kind of them, right? There's lots of different sacrifices. But you know what? A lot of people in here, you know, you've sacrificed a little bit more than that. Maybe you've sacrificed some time and some energy taking care of a loved one who's been sick. Maybe someone's been sacrificing, I know some people have sacrificed some money to give to some teenagers so they can go on a missions trip. You know what? There's a lot of different levels of sacrifice, but really any sacrifice that we do, it doesn't compare to the sacrifice of what our Savior went through. And I was looking at some different passages and some different sacrifices of our Savior. I'm going to start in John chapter 6. And I'm going to look at some different sacrifices of our Savior. Though he sacrificed his life, and that is the greatest sacrifice. We'll talk about that. He sacrificed in some other ways as well. Verse 38 of John chapter 6, it says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The first sacrifice tonight that I'm going to talk about is the sacrifice of heaven. Christ left heaven, the perfect place, to come down to this messed up, cruel world. He didn't come down here to this messed up, cruel world because we were so lovable. He came down even while we were the enemies of God. Let me read you what Romans chapter 5 says. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." God didn't come to this earth. He didn't leave the perfect place called heaven to come to earth because we were so lovable. He didn't come because he looked down and saw Kyle Snyder and thought, "Wow, he's pretty awesome. I'm going to come down to earth for him." No, while we were the enemies of God, our lives were completely opposed to the things of God. We lived how we wanted to live with no thought of God. We were the enemies of God. Christ came and sacrificed a place of perfection to be in a place of cruelness, of sin, a place of the earth. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of sins. What love. He sacrificed heaven, but there's also the sacrifice of his will. I'm going to look in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus praying in the garden. He's in the garden. He prays, and he prays to his heavenly Father. He says, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." What a prayer of the Savior. Not my will, but thine be done. Christ is our example to follow. And he said, you know what? What he was about to go through, he knew he was going to go through some pain. He was going to go through some suffering. He was going to die. But he said, "Lord, not my will. Father, not my will, but thine be done." That's how Christ lived his life. He wasn't focused on his comfort. He was focused on serving his heavenly Father, doing the will of the heavenly Father. What a sacrifice. But truthfully, we're supposed to be living in that same sacrificial way. That's what Paul thought in Romans chapter 12. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, because of what Christ has done for you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Paul said it's only reasonable we would live as a living sacrifice to God. Well, how do we do that? We do that by saying, "Not my will. I'm not living for what I want. I'm living for what Christ wants. I'm living for my Savior because he has sacrificed so much for me." Sacrifice of heaven, the sacrifice of his will, but then the sacrifice of his life. Brother Braden talked about this so well, but Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. But yet he was put on trial as though he was a criminal. He was condemned to die, but they took him and they beat him, bruised him, mocked him. He didn't deserve it. But he went through all of this for you and for me. And then he took the cross and he carried it to the place where he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross for you and for me. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Romans 5:7-8, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, we didn't deserve it. But you know what? Christ sacrificed for us. As we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, I'm reminded of the sacrifice of our Savior. Let's remember the sacrifice of our Savior.
So as we looked at those things, and Mikhail talks about the sacrifice, of course we're well educated on the need of the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood there's no remission of sins, and we understand that the goats and the sheep and all the things that were done in the Old Testament were a picture looking forward to Jesus Christ. As I talked about earlier in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is having that Passover time with the disciples, but he's instituting the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said what we'd mentioned before, take, eat. The Bible says he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And just as a word of explanation, our church, because we believe that Christ was sinless, his sinless perfect blood, the best representation of that would be unfermented fruit of the vine or grape juice. So what we partake of would just be grape juice that was not fermented, did not have any disease in it, doesn't have any rot in it. It's just, it's as pure as you can get. And so as we think about that, we do that because of what the Lord's blood is. It was perfect. It was sinless. And as he gave it to the disciples, I have often thought it would be wonderful to have been there that day. And God didn't have it that way for any of us to be at that time, but can you imagine hearing the Lord Jesus, those words coming off of his lips in that language that he would have spoken? We have it translated into the English language that we know. Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. But as a church family tonight, I wanted to just again stop. All of us are, if you're saved in here, you're on this journey. You're not trying to journey to get saved. You got saved when you come to Christ, and that was a settled deal that he did. But we're still on this journey, trying to get closer to him and trying to please him, trying to live for him, fellowship with him. And then sometimes just sitting in pondering mode of how wonderful he is. And I believe that's what God gives us these nights for, that we can just sit and think of how good God is to us. And so as we think about tonight, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we see it represented by unfermented fruit of the vine, we have the wonderful privilege to stop and thank God for his shed blood so that we could know what salvation is. So, if you'd get that tonight, the Bible says he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Scripture says back on that time when they'd sung a hymn, they went out in the Mount of Olives. We'll do that in just a moment. But I want to bring one final thought before we leave out tonight, and then we'll finish with a special song. Jesus said in verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I contrast that with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, that we've already read at least once, maybe a couple times. And the writer is used of God to say, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. back again in Matthew 26 when he says, I will not eat of this fruit of the vine, or drink of this fruit of the vine, rather, until that day. And so both that statement of Jesus and then that writings of the apostle that was written there both point us forward to the time when the Lord gets together with us again. You say, how long are you going to keep doing this, Pastor? Well, just as long as the Bible says. We're going to keep doing it until He come. And you say, people don't do it as much as they used to. Maybe some do, some don't. Some people do it more often, some people do it less frequently. But we're going to keep doing it until He come. And I just love that. I just brought into it as we was thinking about it, getting ready for tonight, when Jesus says, I'm done, I won't drink again like that until that time. And then when God uses Paul to write to this group and he says, just do it as oft as you do it because you're showing or you're proclaiming the Lord's death till He come. I just wanted to come tonight and have a wonderful time with our church family just doing what the Scripture tells us to do, and that is remember the Lord's death until He come back. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for this time to be in Your house. Lord, I pray as we've gathered together that You would do a work on all of us. And now, folks, I'm going to have a regular invitation. Maybe God's burdened your heart about something tonight. Perhaps there's something that you've just had a burden to get lifted by Jesus Christ. In just a moment, the ladies will come and play. Jesus paid it all, because certainly He did. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Most of you, I know there's some that I do not. Most of you, I know, and your answer would be, yes, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm thankful for that. But whether I know you or not, or whether I think you are or not saved, you know, and between you and the Lord, but perhaps you're here and don't know the Savior. Tonight would be a wonderful night just to give in, give up, and receive Jesus Christ for the full forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're religious, but you've never received Christ in salvation. You've never received Him to forgive your sins being saved. Whatever your need is, I trust that if God would do your work on your heart, that you would do business with Him. Ladies, could you just play something through for an invitation song? Is there something on your heart tonight you just like to give to the Lord? This is a different service than we typically have, but different is not always bad, just different. But I don't want any of us to leave out of here without doing business with the Lord. How's your walk with God? Are you as close as you ought to be? Was there something in that inspection time that you had just a little bit ago that you said, Lord, I'm going to get it all the way right with You. Maybe now's your chance. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? Make it easier on folks to get out. Maybe you'd like to come and pray about something. Just come and give it to the Lord. Something heavy on your heart, it didn't have to be touched on by Braden or Kyle or me. This is our church family just gathering together. Jesus paid it all. I'm going to have Daniel come and lead us in at least the first verse of that. It's hymn number 131. They'll get the words up there. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Won't you come lead us in that?
Jesus paid it all.
You can be seated for just a moment. He washed it white as snow. Praise the Lord. And I just want to be thankful for what God has done in my life. I grew up, as you know, in a Christian home, but had to get saved. And He washed my sins away. I'm so grateful for that. As the last part of the evening, we're going to have a special. Trust will be a blessing to you. And then after that, you'll be dismissed. Thank you. We don't have a long enough time in eternity to thank God for all that He's done. Thank you for reminding us of that. Well, I trust it's been a great place to be tonight, just doing what the Bible had said. I wanted to mention that Gabe Davis, Gabe, you up there? He's not up there. I'll give him a shout out. He's not even here. He probably knew I was going to mention him. But he got engaged the other night, so congratulations to Gabe, even if he's not here this evening, but he's engaged, and we're looking forward to all that God has for him there. Well, Andrew, you up there? Andrew's getting married, and how long, Andrew? How many? 3 weeks. He's a free man for 3 weeks. Now, there's a bunch of men that want to give you some advice after the service. You stay away from them, Andrew. They don't know what they're talking about, I'm sure. So, well, praise the Lord. Well, thank you for being in church tonight. And I hope that you'll talk to somebody who you haven't got to talk to tonight. Maybe you haven't get to meet them yet. It's always awkward. Well, I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't know them. Just be like my wife says, I am awkward all the time. Just, hey, my name is John. How are you? So just blunder into it. And they'll say, well, I've been here for 42 years. Oh, really? You'd think I'd seen you around here, but I didn't. So just talk to somebody you don't know yet and have a wonderful time. Thank you again for being in church tonight. It's good to have Brother Taylor with us, Steve Taylor back there. And thank you for being here with your family, Brother Stephen. It's so good to have him. How long are you going to be here, Brother Stephen?
We leave next week.
Next week. So he did a great job over in the singles this morning. Were you there, right? Amen. And did a great job, I hear. Praise the Lord. Humble, but did he do a good job, Leslie? See there? That's a good wife right there. Oh, yes, he did a great job. So praise the Lord and hope that you'll get by and encourage them. They'll be heading to Chile before too long, just a week or so. And we're grateful to them to have them here with us. Please pray for Brother David Harrison. Usually sits over there about where Miss Wood is. He was on his way to church tonight. Maybe he was here. I'm not sure, but got feeling bad. And so he's on some different medications and things. Had to go back home. So keep David in your prayers. He's a great brother and a wonderful encouragement. Brother David Harrison does a good job, and we thank God for him. So, well, let's all stand together. Thank you for being in church. Please do talk to somebody. Greet somebody you haven't got to talk to this evening. God bless you. You're dismissed.